Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. And this week we have some Hollywood star power for you. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's The Third Man with Orson Welles. But right now, let's listen to Bold Venture and The Key to Death.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Taylor, come here a minute.
How close can I get? I've been sitting on the arm of your chair. You've been using my hip pocket for an ashtray.
Look at this. Here in the newspaper.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. He's a doll. Out of a field of 50 contestants, Herman Hackenschmidt was today crowned Mr. Teaneck, New Jersey. Gee, what pretty teeth.
No, not the pinup boy, this item. The one about the guy who inherited $100,000 from his Uncle Jerome.
$100,000. What would you do if you had all that money, Slate?
Oh, I got it all planned. I'd take it to a bank, change it into small bills, then run through it barefooted.
I do a nice barefoot poker on $5 bills, Slate. Am I invited?
On the $1 bill, Salo. I wouldn't want you to...
Hold that pose, you two. It belongs in the winner's circle.
Well, look, Slate. It's the tiny man with a king-size baritone. How's the jockey dodge, Mickey?
Can't complain, Philly. At Oriental Park, they're betting me and not the quadrupeds. I own Havana.
That's a big package for a little man like you, Mickey.
Can you hear me okay, you two? My voice has got so far to go from down here for me to up there to you.
Well, we'll listen close. What's on your mind?
I want you to... I said do me a favor, huh? About the key.
Why didn't I think of it myself? About the key. What key, Mickey?
Maybe I ain't talking loud enough, huh? The key for the locker at the Havana bus terminal.
Now we know, sailor. The key for that locker. Huh?
I got a parcel checked there. I ain't got time to run down for it now.
Oh, it begins to dawn, Slate.
So, if I ain't back in a couple of days, you take care of it for me. You take it, Slate, and don't lose it.
I'll put it on my key ring. By the way, what's in the parcel?
Just some frayed riding silk, Slate. I'm so fond of them. If someone tried to take them away from me, I'd kill them. Kill them where it hurts.
Yeah. Where's a man going to get frayed riding silks these days?
A happy day to you both. You don't know how much you did for me.
Hiya, Millie.
How's old Red?
Come on in. You gonna stay long enough to sit down?
Can't do it, honey.
What about that jockey, Mickey?
Oh, look, Red, I've been chasing him all over town. Throws a look over his shoulder and runs.
How fast can he run with $100,000 on him?
Big kid are you.
You've got to get that money, baby.
Jockey went into a place called Shannon's. He talked with a man for a long time, buddy kind of talk. And then cagey.
Did you get close enough to hear?
No.
And?
So I paraded so this man the jockey was talking to could see me. Got so I owned a corner of his eye. He'll remember me when he sees me again. He'll like me.
Be gentle with him, Millie.
Depends upon his mood.
Gentle. This guy knows anything about the $100,000, he might just wind up where the cats can look at him. So be nice. Pity him.
I'll see when I get there.
Look, Slate, why don't we just pick up Mickey's package and bring it home? Paying rental on it wasn't part of the agreement.
You heard what the little fellow said. Kill anyone who'd take his silk pants away from him. We'll leave him at the bus terminal. That way we can frolic without a care.
Sure. What's 20 centavos a day to a big man like you?
Oh, for 4 nickels a day, I stay alive. At the current rate, that's cheap. Besides, walking the Havana streets...
Something like this, it makes me hate myself. Hi, Shannon.
Huh? Oh, hi. I remember you from somewhere, stranger. Let's see, you were straightening a seam in front of my place yesterday. Yeah, same seam. You finally got it straight, huh?
That's not why I hate myself. It's just that I'm such an honest girl. I don't have the price of a dream, and I'm honest. Here, you drop this.
What?
This $100 bill, you dropped it. All you have to do, Shannon boy, is believe you dropped that money and listen. You see how easy it is? $100 and no pain.
For $100, you can throw in a little pain. Who does he have to listen to?
It's written on the bill. Red wants to see you, Shannon.
Red, huh? You got a sister?
There's only one of me, Shannon. Red says it's easier for him to talk to people who have money. He says they listen better that way.
I'm a sucker for psychology, Millie. Let's go and let Red whisper in my ear.
Now, without me, you don't.
Without you, sailor.
And without me, Shannon. You earn your dough in a lonesome way. That's how it is.
Yeah. Bye, girls. You made me a happy fellow, the both of you.
Hello. If your name's Shannon, you come right in.
Thanks. Who's he?
Can't miss him, can you? He's that big. Tell him your name, cabbie.
Juan de Casco Cabrio, my name.
He wouldn't tell you, only I told him to. That right, cabbie?
What do you say, senor?
You gonna give me some more money, redhead?
Say, you noticed it, huh? My hair, red. But look, right here, I'm losing it. It worries me.
What are you buying, Red?
Talk. I'm buying words like an editor.
Editor. I know what he is, then. Buys words.
Oh, he's a clever one.
Just chock full of IQs. Only not so smart as a jockey named Mickey Brennan. Shannon, baby, Mickey talked to you. What'd he say?
Let's see if I can remember. Oh, yeah, it was about horses. Withers and quarters, hind and fore, teeth, age of, you know. You gonna give me another 100 for that?
You go to the movies, Shannon?
Not another 100, huh? Oh, I'm real disappointed, Red.
In the movies, they point guns. Like this. Think I did that good, cabbie?
bueno, good. Like in movies. Just like fine.
I got time. Time, patience. Let's do it all over, Shannon. What'd the jock tell you? I gotta find out for a fella.
Mickey said Rover Boy in the fifth was a dog.
Cabbie.
Si. Señor, do not struggle with Cabrillo. Please, do not...
You know the language better than that, Shannon. What did Mickey say? No. Show him the second reel.
Put down that gun and I'd...
No more movies, Senor Red.
Yeah, not much fun either. The hero had a glass jaw.
King, if a girl walked up to you and gave you $100 bill she said you dropped, what would you do?
What would I do? I'd say, King Moses, boy, don't cry, don't frown. Miss Santa Claus, she come to town.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What is it with men, King?
As it has always been, the money whispers.
In my day, a girl could catch a fellow's eye by dropping her handkerchief. But a C-note under his nose... Oh, it's a tired world.
Mr. Slate will come back to you, Lady Sailor. He has been gone often longer than this. He will come, touch the hurt from your mouth and...
Hurt? Did I hear somebody say hurt? Pretty word.
Yeah, you did. People hear words like that when they don't knock.
She's a cutie, ain't she, cabbie?
As you say, Señor Red, a cutie, an hermosa.
Red, you must be the redhead Slate went calling on. You boys have fun?
It was crummy. A crummy time was had by all.
Where's Slate?
Me first, cutie. I ask things first. You had a caller the other day, Mickey Brennan. What pearls dripped from Mickey Brennan's mouth?
We talked about horses. Let's see. Forelocks, Fetlocks?
You and Shannon ought to be in vaudeville, cutie. You got the same routines. Now I ask you with my hand on your tender arm. No answer breaks it.
Leave her alone, you. Take your hand from her.
Get his hands off me, cabby. They're rough to the touch.
See, say you red. Come away, little boy. This is for grown-ups.
Let go. Let go of
them. Don't choke him to death, cabby. Leave him some breath to live on. Well, cutie?
That's what you did to Slade, huh? Paid him $100 so you could sick cabby on him and watch.
What's the matter, cutie? You jealous? Don't be jealous. I might tell cabby to let it happen to you.
Cut it out, Head. Come on, come on. Stop it. Yeah. Yeah, that's better. That's nice.
Senor, you are awake, senor?
What? Huh?
I did not mean to disturb your sleep, senor, but Cabby likes to practice on the drum in his room.
Oh, then it wasn't my head.
Oh, no, senor. Was Cabby on the bongo. One day in regular orchestra play. You see, maybe even 4 pieces.
Help me up.
Oh, si, si. Come on, come on. Do you see him in the corner, senor?
Mickey. Mickey Brennan.
He's dead, senor. He's dead.
Bullet holes where they used to be polka dots. Okay, cabby, where am I? Where is this place?
Cabby's room, as I have explained. In Hotel Cavallo.
Cavallo? Where the bookies meet the jockeys by the sea. Red told you to keep me here, huh?
If you would try to walk through that door, I would beat you very badly.
Only this time no one's holding a gun on me.
No matter, I would beat you. Oh, senor, cabby, almost forget. Senor Red said to give you that which is yours. A wallet, key ring, little black book.
So if I'm found as a corpse, the police will know who should grieve for me. Thanks.
And there's $100 bill that is yours. $100? Senor Red said it was yours.
You said $100 like it hurt you.
Oh, mucho dinero, eh? A lot of money. Nice things, silk things to buy.
Here, you can hold it a little while longer. Now, go ahead, cabby. Touch it, feel it. Go ahead.
Senor. Si.
Yeah, feel this too.
Beat you.
Try this one on your bongo. Get up, cabby. I got a real tricky rhythm I can show you.
See, I cannot. See, I try. I cannot. My head.
Oh, what a shame about your head. See you later, cabby.
But you cannot go. Senor Red said to keep you here. He'll be angry. Kill you.
To Bold Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
I tell you, I'm not hurt, Slate. King Moses was the one who had the bad time.
They hurt you, King?
It feel like I have long, thin neck where once I had short, broad one.
You'd better go goggle again, King.
In a little while. I wish now to look at you and enjoy the fact that you have not been harmed.
You don't know how lucky you are, sailor. That big guy could have broken you in half.
You know, it's a funny thing. The way Cabby looked at me, gently, like he was sorry for me. I almost had the feeling that if Red had told him to hurt me, he wouldn't have done it.
Oh, you're just a big dimple on the cheek of Havana, sailor. Children stop at play when they hear your name.
From age 16 on up, Miss Sailor.
Oh, fellas.
And you convinced him you didn't know anything about Mickey, huh? Well, look who's coming, the police.
They must have found Mickey dead. What are you going to tell them?
King will tell them. He'll goggle it at them. Let's hit the back alley, sailor.
I think you're out of your mind, Slate, coming here to the bus depot. It's the first place the police would look for you.
Sure, it's the first place they'd look for a common criminal, but I've taken great pains to build up a reputation in Havana. The way I figure it...
Give me a nickel.
What?
5 cents. I want to buy a paper to see if they spelled your name right. Thanks. Hey, look at this, Slade.
How do you like that? They picked up Cabrillo and they found Mickey, and Cabrillo implicated me. I guess I was right not waiting for cop talk.
But you're right in wanting to get Mickey's riding silks out of the locker, huh? A jockey's uniform in a locker. That's the greatest clue of all time.
Sherlock would drool at the mouth. I've got the key. Come on. Let's see. Here it is. Number 68. Now, let's see what's so important. Are they peeping at you too, sailor?
Holy, all that money. Tens, twenties, fifties.
Stop sniffing them, sailor. You'll tear them. Hey, let's get these beauties out of sight.
Any great ideas now, Slate?
Yeah. Listen to me. You told me Cabby looked at you like he liked you, didn't he?
I've seen the look before.
Get into that jail and talk to him. Find out what this is all about. Give the look back to him. Do something. Make him tell you now what he knows.
All right. What are you going to do?
Something that's just got to be done. I'll pick you up in front of the main monument. Well, don't just stand there, sailor. Your date's waiting for you in jail.
It was downright sweet of you, guard, to let me see my little old Cabrio in his little old cell. I'll cherish the memory always. Don't bang a jail door on me, Chico. I'm a taxpayer.
Prison doors do not close with polite, senorita.
Hi, cabbie.
When is this, senorita?
You don't even sound surprised to see me.
Well, I am, senorita. But I do not know the words to express it. I am very ignorant.
On you, it's attractive.
Oh, you say that because I sit in the shadow. You cannot see my face, the hands that almost did hurt you.
Forget it, cabbie. The fellow has to make his way in the world somehow.
That is exactly how Senor Red talked to me.
Where is your buddy, pal? Why isn't he here holding your hand like a chum?
Oh, he could not do that, senorita. He took a powder, he and Senorita Millie. Well, they take a nice powder together, those two.
And left you holding a great big bag with a dead jockey in it.
Si, but they gave me company, Señor Shannon. So I would not be lonely with the bag all to myself.
Slate and I could be your friends, cabbie. All you'd have to do is tell us what this is all about. That way you could go free.
I tell you nothing. Señor Red say to tell nobody nothing, cabbie.
You could practice your bongo. Maybe even play with a four-piece outfit. Slate told me how talented you were.
Aye, talented. Four pieces. No, Senor Red say no, I say no.
You know how I got in to see you, cabbie? I told them I was your girl.
To see me? You say such a thing?
I'll be your girl, Cabrio. I'll come every night and listen to you on the bongo.
You say you my girl? Much money has been stolen by the jockey, and Senor Red wanted for a man.
What man?
I don't know what man. Go ask Joe Nevada, shooting gallery on Avenida Marquis. Ask him what, man. Now go, senorita, before I beat you till you forget what I tell you.
Cops, murders, stolen money. A girl really lives the full rich life with you, doesn't she, Slate?
Girls live how they want to live because they're made of sugar and spice. Girl told me that once.
You never told me about that one, you...
Quiet, sailor. Can't you see Mr. Nevada is concentrating? Three bullseyes. Nice shooting, Nevada.
Glad it excited you. Lay down a quarter and you can pop off, too.
Still making book in the back of Havana's grocery slips, Nevada? That's your answer? That means yes, huh?
That means if you ain't got the price of admission, go away, kid.
Mickey Brennan stole things from people. Maybe you can tell me who, Nevada.
That one excite you, Shannon?
It sent quivers up his spine.
Sure did. Know a fellow named Red, Nevada? Wears a fellow named Cabby on his sleeve?
Look, kid, I could turn this .22 away from the ducks and make you ring a bell that'll call people to prayer.
Yeah. Let's go, sailor.
Where to now, Slate?
There's only one place left. The Hotel Cavalla. For a guy shot a jockey dead and then beat his funeral march on my head.
Don't hit me. Don't hit me, senor. I'm trying to explain.
All you've said so far is that you were the new clerk here at the Cavallo. You're not doing real good on your job, Chico.
Ask him again about the safe slate. Why such a big new one for such a small flea bag?
You heard it, Chico. I was here a while ago, and there was a small safe over there. What happened to it?
Yesterday, the tenants of the Cavallo opened the old one, and it gave back only a cold stare.
What tenants?
Those who live here, the bookies. Such a safe is much safer than a bank.
Don't you see, Slate? Bookies. They keep their money in this hotel safe. Think we've got enough, Slate?
Sure. Come on. Now, the way it looks, our jockey is a thief. Little Mickey heisted...
He sure did, Shannon. Now, just keep walking, or the redhead's gonna blast you all over the pavement.
How does it feel to kill a jockey, Red?
A good feeling. I like it. Open the door. There's somebody here I want you to meet again. Millie, look what I brought you.
Wow. Slate Shannon. Mind if I blush with joy?
You can still think of a reason to blush, Millie.
Such nasty words for a girl who's almost dead.
You two have got one more chance. $100,000. Where is it?
I want to tell you something that'll worry you, Red. You had that money and you didn't know it.
What's he saying, Red?
Tell us, Shannon.
When you had me worked over, you should have taken a look at my key ring. One of the keys was for a locker. Locker, money.
Red, how does a man get as stupid as you? $100,000 like that. You had it in your fingers and you let it dribble through him.
Millie, you crazy? You're gone out of your mind? Millie, put away that gun!
Millie, don't you dare do what he says.
Turn around, Red. I said turn around. This is for now.
You see, sailor, why I never turn my back on a girl?
As pistol whippers go, I think Millie did that quite well.
Give me the key, Slate.
All right, take it easy.
Give it to me. Mickey Brennan's dead because he stole that money. It's got to get back to me.
What about the guy it belongs to?
Forget about that. Give.
You going to forget about me, Millie?
Hi, Nevada. Who's taking care of the shooting gallery?
Ducks are tired of being shot at. I put them to pond.
Millie, are you going to forget about me?
Look, Shannon's got the key. He knows where the money is.
Why is Red lying on the floor? Is he tired?
Millie made him tired with the butt end of a .45.
Ooh, what a tattletale.
You wanted that dough for yourself, Millie.
No, you've got to listen to
me. Sure, I will. Throw your gun away, Millie. On the floor. Throw it away. The dead girl said you had a key, Shannon. Let's go use it. To find $100,000.
You know, I'm glad it's late. Not many people in the bus station. That's good. People ought to go to bed early. Keeps them out of trouble.
Mind if I ask you something?
My pleasure.
Why didn't you just kill us and take the key?
Why do you trouble the man with such stupid questions? The man has to make sure the money is where we say it is.
Shrewd. You sparkle, Shannon.
Locker 68. Ain't that what you said?
That's right. Here's the key.
Open it.
Open it, Shannon, or this gun in my pocket will go off. Ruin my suit and you.
It's all yours.
$100,000. Let me look it. Same thing.
Duck sailor. You ruined your suit coat, kid.
I'll kill you. Where's that money?
You may never know.
I hate to interrupt your moment of glory, Slate, but now may I ask you a question?
Sure. What?
Where is that money?
Oh, did I forget to tell you? I took it back to the hotel. It's on my office floor, spread out.
Oh, you didn't wait for me.
Still there until the cops call for it. Let's go home and take off our shoes, sailor.
Thank you.
mate.
Uh-huh.
Did you see this? The front page of tonight's paper.
Well, Slate Shannon's picture on the front page. I don't like that picture, though.
That's the one I gave to the papers. I like it. What's the matter with it?
I got better pictures than that. This one's in a turtleneck sweater you knitted for me. You can hardly see my face.
Of course you can see your face. See? That's your face.
Why didn't you give them the one of me on the surfboard with the two girls on my shoulder?
Then who'd look at your face?
Come here, sailor. I don't know what I'd do with that. Why didn't you send that portrait of me in the yachting cap and the pipe and the faraway look in my eyes?
Oh, you mean the one you sent to the Lonely Hearts Club?
I didn't... Did you send them that picture?
Yeah. I came back with a rejection slip. Come here, reject.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Come over here, Eddie, darling. We have so much to talk about.
Ah, shut up.
Red, isn't that darling? Sweet little Eddie Robinson trying to act like a gangster.
And you shut up, too.
Wait a minute. I didn't say anything.
Well, just in case you're thinking of saying anything, just shut up.
Now, Ed, you're kidding, aren't you?
What do you think this buzz on my hip is?
Little day spread.
45, see?
Have you ever considered cutting down on potatoes?
Now listen, you big tomato. You get in my way and I'll push a grapefruit in your mush and throw a pineapple into your apartment, see?
Say, I'll take a pound of that fruit salad, sir.
Now look here, I'm warning you, see? One more crack out of you and you'll need protection insurance.
Say, I'll take some of that, too. It'll go well with my unemployment insurance.
Now,
Polly going there.
Wait a minute, Ed. Now, look here, Ed. I don't understand this. Now, I've always known you to be a mild, sweet-tempered, intellectual man who spends most of his time collecting valuable paintings.
Ah, that's a blind. On the backs of them, their paintings are blueprints of some of the biggest banks in the country, see?
But, Mr. Robinson, I understood that you had a collection of authentic paintings by Rembrandt, Renoir, and Degas.
Oh, sure, sure. I had those guys paint over the blueprints.
But Rembrandt, Renoir, and Degas, they're all dead.
Well, that's the idea. Dead men don't talk, see?
Now, Eddie...
Now, don't butt me, will you? Don't butt me, see? Now, don't get in my way. See, I'm hot as nails, see? You're going to get hurt, see?
Please, I'm getting seasick.
Come here. Come here, short, broad, and... Broad? I'll teach you how to fool around with me, see? I'm going to give you a little lesson as how to behave, see?
Oh, you're talking to me. This has got to stop. This is the movie Edward G. Robinson. The movie Edward G. Robinson, not the real Edward G. Robinson.
Well,
what's the matter with you?
Well, everybody's picking on me. All my life, I never had a chance. I used to be on Broadway. You know, I was a nice, quiet guy who minded his business, never got in any trouble. And then I went to Hollywood and I did a gangster picture. And from then on, my troubles began. People avoided me. Children cried when I came into a room.
Say, wait a minute. If I had known this was for the Academy Award, I'd have worn my tux and my suspenders.
Now, when I walked down the street, horses would bolt.
It must be for the Rotting Academy Award.
Oh, I just hated myself. So I hired a publicity man. No, really, now, please don't laugh at me. I hired a publicity man to tell people that I was really a gentleman, but it worked too well, and suddenly people began to push me around. The minute they knew I wasn't really tough, they took advantage of me. So I gave that up, and I tried to go back to being tough, and I was doing so well, too, until you hit me. The humiliation of it, to be hit by a woman in public. Tallulah, why did you do it? Now, why did you do it?
I'll take a pound of that ham.
presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the story The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
This little story of frustrated love and violent death just happened to happen on the Côte d'Azur. It might have happened somewhere else, but no. This little strip of Italian and French coastline called the Riviera is where it all took place. The story begins at dawn. The lovely, tender, early dawn of a summer's day in 1946. At this period of my career, I was in the cigarette business, American cigarettes. My end of it was distribution, which in France was organized out of Marseille. That's where I was bound on this particular morning. I had a full truckload of the four leading brands disguised in cans of powdered milk, and I'd crossed the border, never mind how, while it was still dark. And by 6 o'clock, I'd passed through Monte Carlo. I figured I was somewhere just outside of Villefranche when I saw her. She was young, red-headed. She was standing behind a big limousine trying to push it, and she was wearing an evening dress. I slowed up. She seemed to be having trouble. The car wasn't budging. She was a very beautiful girl. So I stopped. Got out of the truck. I could see she was frightened. I went over to the car she'd been trying to push. There was a man sitting inside. I could see he was wearing a dinner jacket. He had on black horn-rimmed glasses and he was bald. None of which would have been very interesting, except that he was also dead. Well, that's how it began. Stick around, I'll tell you how it ended.
Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, Murder on the Riviera.
Well, I went back to my truck and turned it around. Don't ask me why, I'm just telling you what I did. I moved the truck up behind the car. She was still standing there in the road looking at me. Hey, you! You're stupid, aren't you? She didn't answer. Well, you must be stupid. Don't you know enough to take off the brake? All at once, she understood, ran back up the road to the car, opened the door, and released the brake. Before I knew it, the car was teetering over the edge of the road. Then, with a lurch, it slipped down the embankment into the sea. She just stood there, looking at me. Well, what are you going to do now?
I don't know.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
Well, you can't just stand there. The day's starting. People are waking up. There's going to be traffic. Come here.
What do you want?
Well, suppose I give you a lift. You'd be a good girl if I do. Remember, I've got the gun. What's your name?
Daddy-o. People call me Danny.
Well, I'll call you stupid. Come on, get in and close the door, stupid. Better be on our way.
Thank you. What's your name?
Harry. Know where I'm taking you?
Police?
I live in Nice, stupid. It's just 10 kilometers away from here. We're going home. I had a room in Nice over a cafe, nothing very grand, but convenient. I guess it was that evening dress that did it, but I found myself apologizing as I opened the door. This isn't your style, my lady. I'm sure, but you have to put up with it for a while. You know, bachelor's quarters. Hey.
Hello, Harry.
Now, look here. What's all this?
Well, I didn't know you'd be back so soon.
Oh,
Harry.
You didn't.
Perhaps you'd better introduce us, Harry.
Oh, this is Lily, Danny. Danny, this is Lily.
I'm sorry, Harry. Don't look so upset. I know how you feel.
How I feel?
You see, I thought you'd be up in Genoa for another couple of days, and by then I'd found some place to stay. The old woman downstairs let me in.
Come on, come on. Get your things on now and go.
Go? Go where?
It's a nice day. Go take a swim.
Well, I don't have a bathing suit.
Here.
What's that?
2,000 francs.
Why are you giving it to me?
Go out and buy yourself a bathing suit.
Goodbye. There's something I've got to explain.
All right, start talking, but make it fast. Remember what I told you before. Make it good.
Well, the first thing is, I've got to get to Paris.
Well, if you think I'm going to drive you there in the truck.
No, of course not. Here.
What am I supposed to do with that?
It's the key to my room in the hotel.
What about it?
Well, I can't spend the rest of my life in an evening dress, can I? Besides, I've got to have my passport.
Try to get out of the country, is that it?
Paris first. I told you. That's where the money is. Then we'll see.
Well, then we'll... What do you mean, we?
That's up to you.
So I'm supposed to check you out of the hotel, is that it?
Well, just put a few things in a bag. You know, things I can wear in the day. Oh, and remember the passport. It's in the drawer by the bed.
Is that what you wanted to tell me?
Why, yes.
I thought maybe you were going to do some explaining.
Explain?
Yes, there was a body in that car. Didn't you notice?
You don't think I killed him, do you?
Well, I don't think he shot himself.
Well, why not? Why shouldn't he?
You know what I ought to do with you? I ought to turn you in right now.
We've been gambling all night. He'd lost heavily. He was desperate.
Stop pawing. You know what probation is?
Probation?
It's what you're on, stupid. You needed help. The idea was I'd give you a chance to explain things to me first instead of the cops. Well, you've had your chance.
Give me a cigarette.
Here, take these. I'll get some more.
Harry, when you leave the hotel, you better go by the service entrance. And remember the plane tickets.
Yeah, what? The plane tickets?
For Paris. You'll have to buy them.
Let's get back to cases now. Who was he?
Who?
The stiff. Who do you think? I mean, the dead body.
I don't know.
Well, how did you happen to be in his car?
Oh, he offered to take me. It was late, remember? It was dawn. We'd been gambling in the casino all night.
And you didn't know it?
Well, I was just sitting next to him at the table. He staked me for a while, but he started losing himself, and he wouldn't let me go. He said something about changing his luck.
Well, how did he get you in his car?
Oh, it was only a lift home. Oh. We were both going the same way.
Well, we aren't. We're going separate ways. But first, I'll get you a bag and passport. Goodbye, stupid. My truck, packed full of smuggled cigarettes, was waiting in the street below. I couldn't leave it there in full daylight. I should have taken it on to Marseille, but I couldn't do that and still go back to Monte Carlo to Danny's hotel. I went to the airport first, but this being the holiday time in France, there wasn't any space, so then I drove over to the railway station and booked a seat on the blue train for Paris that night. When I came out of the station, I found Lily waiting in the truck.
Hello, Harry.
Oh, I wish you'd take my suggestion, Lily, and go swimming. I've got enough trouble.
Are you leaving for good,
Harry? Right now, I'm going to Monte Carlo. Where are you going?
To Monte Carlo.
I'm a liar.
Why is that, Harry?
I told somebody this morning I liked girls.
Well, you do. You like them too much.
Lily was a nice kid, but she wasn't making life any easier for me that day. I tried to talk her out of tagging along with me, but it wasn't any use. Lily, will you please tell me just why you're taking this long ride to Monte Carlo?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
All right, I'll answer it, because somebody's in trouble.
Oh, what did she do?
You keep jumping to conclusions. Why are you so sure that she did something? I said she was in trouble.
That's how you get into trouble, isn't it? By doing things.
Well, not necessarily. Look at you.
I am not in trouble, Harry, unless you want me to be.
You lost your job. That's trouble enough. You didn't do anything. They just fired you.
Well, I threw a gin face at a man and hit him with it.
Glass and all?
Glass and all. I guess that's doing something.
I guess so. Well, now what?
You mean about me?
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing working in those cheap little flats.
Gonna try for something better?
You've seen my act, Harry. The dance of the sacred flame.
Yes.
Lousy, isn't it?
Pretty lousy.
Well, it isn't going to get very much better. To be a dancer, I figure a girl ought to be able to dance.
Not with your equipment, Harry.
You like me, Harry?
You mean, do I like the way you look?
Well, do you?
Well, I like the way you look, but you're wasting your time, honey, if you're thinking of marriage or anything like that. I'm not the type.
Oh, yes, you're the type. You're just not in the mood. What's wrong with that girl? Why are you hiding her?
If I tell you, I wonder, would you help?
I'd help you.
No, I guess not. No, you wouldn't help her.
Well, why should I? And come to that, why should you?
Well, I get a funny reaction when people are in trouble, Lily. I guess because I've been in so much trouble myself, but I never changed. I have to help them first before I ask any questions. Besides, I don't like policemen.
What have the police got to do
with
it?
Nothing. I was just talking. Look, if a bird flew in your window, what would you do?
I'd be scared.
Why?
Because I'm superstitious. When a bird comes into the house, it means death.
Okay, let's forget birds. Are you superstitious about mice?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to explain a point of view. Now, tell me this. Have you ever let a mouse out of a trap?
You mean the mouse in an evening dress by Jacques Fatt?
Oh, all right now, Lily. I'm leaving you here. Wait for me if you want to. This is the service entrance to the hotel.
What if it is?
They'd stop me at the front. Here, hold my coat.
And just what do I do with it?
Just hold it. Hold it and wait. I'm going to be an electrician or a plumber. I haven't decided which. In shirt sleeves, I've got a better chance of getting up to a hotel room without anybody stopping me.
Yes, but...
You wanted to help, didn't you? I went into the hotel. In my hurry, I forgot that in that coat I'd given Lily, there was the gun. Not my gun, the one that fell out of the car of the dead man. Don't know why I didn't think of it, but... Then I don't know what I was thinking of that whole day. 407 was the number of the key. I went up there as quietly as I could, let myself in. And on a drawer by the bed, I found Danny's passport. It identified her as Madame Danielle Savage. I put the passport in my pocket, opened up the smallest of her bags, and started hurriedly throwing some things into it. In the closet, I found a tailored suit. I picked out some shoes, thought it would match, threw the whole thing into the bag. I figured she'd need something from the dressing table, makeup, things like that, and... That's when I noticed the leather folder, one of those things for photographs. It had slipped to the floor, and it opened. I looked down at it. There were two pictures, each showing Danny and a man. The same man. In one pose, they were in ski togs, and in the other, in bathing suits. He was bald, with heavy black horn-rimmed glasses, and I recognized him. He was the dead man from the car. At this moment, there was the sound of a key turning in the lock of the door. I jumped to my feet, dropping the toilet articles, reached the door in a single leap, and turned the bolt.
All right, open up in there.
I didn't answer that. There didn't seem to be much point in getting into conversation. I looked wildly around for some means of hiding or escape.
Open up! You'll only make it harder for yourself if you don't. This is the police!
In a moment, Orson Welles returns as Harry Lime, the third man. Now, Orson Welles, as Harry Lime, the third man, continues today's story, Murder on the Riviera.
Open up in there! This is the police!
I rushed to the window. It was locked. I kicked it open. There was a balcony on the floor below. It was quite a drop. But in another minute, I knew they'd succeed in battering down the door, so I risked it and managed to drop safely enough on the narrow terrace. That jump had only been a matter of some 12 or 15 feet, but it was four stories between the balcony and the street. My idea was to try climbing into one of the other rooms and getting out that way. I pushed my hand in and turned the catch inside, but this, a very fierce-looking old dowager in corsets appeared and scared me away, and I ran to the next window, and that was open. I jumped into the room where a very pretty girl without very much on, and whom I'm sorry to say I never saw again in my life, was giving herself a pedicure. She looked startled, but I didn't pause for explanations. I rushed to the door of her room and bolted out into the hall. Then she started to scream.
Help! Murder! Police! Police!
I started toward the stairway, but I could see some police and an assorted gaggle of bellhops and porters converging on my floor from above and below, so I turned on my heels and raced down the hall, trying the doors of the various rooms. Finally, I found one that wasn't locked and let myself in, slamming the door and bolting it behind me. I picked up the phone. Hello? Mayor Bessie's? Does Patrice happen to be there? Well, put him on the phone. I figured the best thing to do was to get my friend, who happened to be a croupier in the casino, who used to hang out at this restaurant that I'd called, to bring me a change of clothes over to the hotel room. If I could look enough like a tourist going down to the beach, maybe I could get out past the cops. Well, Patrice, the croupier, was a real friend. He arrived with sunglasses, a jersey pullover, a beach robe, and a low comedy blue canvas hat. And in that outfit, I managed to ride down in the elevator without attracting overmuch attention. At the side of the hotel, however, I found a gang of cops gathered by my truck. They were unloading the cans of powdered milk and prying them open. So that was goodbye to the truck, goodbye to a very expensive shipment of smuggled cigarettes, and maybe also goodbye to Harry Lime. As casually as possible, I strolled around to the front and ordered a cab. Lily was nowhere in sight. That was something to be grateful for. 40 minutes later, I was back home in Nice. Not, I can assure you, in a very cheerful frame of mind. For one thing, the door of my room was locked. For another, my croupier friend, Patrice, had told me that some sportsman spearing underwater for fish had come on the car. The bald man had been found and identified. His name was Victor Savage.
Yes?
Okay, stupid, let me in.
Oh, it's you.
Better let me in, Mrs. Savage.
Oh.
Not much of a welcome. Hey. Hey, what are you doing?
Thank you, Harry, that was nice. What are you dressed like that for, Harry?
Well,
What have you been doing all this time?
What have I been doing? Well, nothing much.
Where's my bag?
Oh, I forgot it.
You what?
Well, you might say I was occupied. It sort of slipped my mind.
But all I've got is that evening dress. I can't stay here forever.
Honey, you're not going to.
But Harry.
Yes?
Don't you realize I'm a fugitive from justice?
That makes two of us, stupid. The only difference is if they catch me, I'll have to serve some time.
What for?
Breaking and entering, for one thing, aiding and abetting a murderer, burglary, and impersonating a tourist.
Oh, you're joking. Besides, why will it be you that's in jail and not me?
This is France. You're a good-looking dame, and that's useful anywhere.
What are you talking about?
Just this, stupid. If you can make that shooting of yours look just a little bit like a crime of passion, you've maybe got a chance. But you better start telling the truth just to get into the habit.
I just thought of something.
Congratulations.
When you were knocking on the door...
Yes?
What was it you called me?
Well, what do you think I called you?
Well, I don't know. I guess I was dreaming.
I called you by your married name, Mrs. Savage.
Well, that means you found my passport.
Yes, some people went swimming today and found your husband,
what?
Too. Yes, Victor Savage, Esquire. He was wearing a black tie and very little hair, and he was sitting in a 1939 Humber Snipe, black with blue trimmings, about 30 feet underwater. And I warn you, Mrs. Savage, that anything you say will be used against you.
I don't like your jokes.
I don't like them much either. Want to make up some of your own?
Oh. Did you forget something else besides my bag?
I don't have any cigarettes.
Wait a minute. I know something else you forgot. You had it in the pocket of your coat.
The gun.
Yes.
Pretty little thing, too. Still, by now, I should think you'd be tired of playing with it.
My fingerprints.
Listen, stupid. Savage's body is identified. You're Mrs. Savage, and half the casino must have seen you two driving off together. Forget about the fingerprints and get to work dreaming up that other woman.
What other woman?
The one he was cheating you with. When you found out about it, everything went red, remember? And before you knew it, you'd pulled the trigger.
But that isn't what happened at all.
Okay, okay. Tell it your own way.
Well, you see...
Don't try it on me, stupid. Wait till they catch you. I've had all I can take.
Hey.
Yes?
Nothing, I guess, but what are you doing?
I'm changing my clothes, stupid. The tuxedo I borrowed from downstairs.
But why? Why get dressed up for the evening?
I don't know what's worse, your questions or your answers. Listen, stupid, have you forgotten that all you've got to travel in is an evening dress? I've got to get you from here to the station. This is summer. It'll still be light. But with me in the tuxedo, you stand a better chance of not being noticed. Maybe they'll think we're going to a ball.
And what happens when I get to Paris in the morning?
Well, you've got money in Paris, remember?
Harry.
What is it now?
I don't really have any money there, Harry. I just said that.
Well, I'm in it this far. Okay, how much can you get by with?
How much?
Now, I know you're stupid. Money, of course. How much money?
But I've got money.
Yeah?
Well, certainly. I've got 15 million francs.
What?
Well, right here in my bag. It's what he won.
Your husband?
My ex-husband.
You didn't mention a divorce.
You didn't ask.
Then what were the two of you doing in Monte Carlo together?
We just happened to meet at the casino, and then he started to win.
Go on.
He wouldn't let me go because he was afraid it might change his luck. You know how gamblers are.
So then you changed his luck for him.
Well, no, I didn't play at all. Harry.
Okay, stupid. Okay, keep your distance.
I don't think I like you.
We'll go into that later. When did your husband start to lose?
Well, he didn't. He just went on winning. He didn't lose at all. I just sit
there. Why, for goodness sake, did you lie about that?
Because of the money. The 15 million francs. Your tie's crooked.
I told you to keep your distance.
And I told you I didn't like you. But I just said that.
Tell me more about the money.
Oh, don't be so mercenary. I want you to kiss me.
I'd rather talk about the money, the 15 million francs, remember?
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
I guess it was enough.
Well, you see, now that Victor and I were getting divorced, I thought they might decide it wasn't mine. Well, you know, when they found him.
Listen, you sexy little monster. Just 15 minutes to train time. You're not going to get far, you know. The only reason I'm doing this is because I'm just a little bit cracked.
You're not anything of the sort.
I'm the kind of fellow who refuses jury duty in a murder trial and lets mice out of traps. You're going to get it, stupid. They'll catch you. It just isn't going to be me that turns you in.
By the way, where's the gun?
Lily has it.
Lily?
You met her this morning. I'm going to get it back or she will hawk it. She got fired out of her job. She's broke.
Oh, she's pretty. She'll get by. What do you want with the gun?
I thought I'd throw it in the Mediterranean, stupid. Guns can be traced, you know.
Well, it wasn't my gun, Harry. It was his. He kept it in the glove compartment.
So you took it out of the glove compartment and shot him dead with it, just like that, hmm?
No, Harry, not just like that. Not like that at all. Do you honestly think it happened that way? Why, Harry, what reason would I have?
15 million francs is a pretty good reason, honey. He didn't feel like giving it to you, is that it? So you settled the argument with a couple of bullets.
Harry!
Well?
If that's what you really think, well, I guess there isn't any point in our talking about it anymore.
No, honey, I guess there isn't. Take your money, let's get out of here. I got her to the station, okay, and into a compartment. She told me she was hungry. There were a couple of minutes to spare, so I went across the way to get her something to eat. On the way back, I found Lily waiting on the platform. What are you doing here?
Seeing you off.
I'm not going anywhere. Hey, I just thought. Give me back that gun, Lily.
You don't need it.
I don't need it. I don't even want it. But neither do you, and you're better off without it. Come on, give.
Harry?
Yes?
Why are you going back to her now? Can't you leave her alone?
Got a ticket.
Is that all? You're sure?
No, I'm not sure. I just wish...
What?
Well, I wish I had a better idea of what she's really like.
Shall I tell you? No, you wouldn't believe me. Here's the gun. If you decide to go to Paris, Harry, send me a postcard. Harry!
Hello?
I thought I'd seen the last of you.
You're going to, honey, in another 20 seconds. Here, there's a little beef stew in the restaurant across the way. Here's some wine.
Oh, you're
goodbye.
An angel.
Oh, stop it.
Stop what?
Make it with a big blue eyes. Tell me what happened in that car. Or don't. That's up to you, but quit the kidding.
Well, what's the use? You won't believe me.
Nobody seems to think I'll believe them. Why don't you try?
Well, what really happened is this. He owed me the money, and I tried to get it away from him. It was really mine, you see, mine by rights.
Yes?
Then we started struggling, and before I knew it, I... Look! Look, they're out of the window.
I turned. On the platform outside, we could see a crowd of police. I recognized some of them. They were the cops who found my truck full of cigarettes. They must have followed me.
So you did it. After all, you told
the
police.
No, Danny, I didn't. I didn't tell anybody. I swear I didn't. Hey, what are you doing?
I thought I felt a gun in your pocket. Give it back to
Don't
me.
Don't be a fool. Give me that gun. They're not coming after
you. Yes, they are. You told them you trapped me.
Danny! The next minute, the compartment was swarming with cops. They grabbed her and got the gun away from her. But that didn't do me much good. I had a nasty wound in the shoulder.
Take the woman away. Lime, you're under arrest. But first, we'll get you a doctor.
Well, Dan, at least I know now that your last story was the truth.
What story? What did she tell you?
She tried to hold up Savage with a gun. When he grabbed for it, she pulled the trigger. Reflex action problem.
Reflex,
right? I couldn't help it, Harry. I just couldn't. I saw the gun sticking out of your pocket.
Come on, take her out and give this man air. He's wounded.
Goodbye, Harry.
Goodbye, stupid.
No,
No, let me through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's this? There's another girl. What's she doing here?
Harry!
With Lily down on the platform waving to me through the glass.
Send that girl away!
No use, officer. I've tried, but I guess I'm stuck with her.
Harry! Speak to me! Hurry!
I won't be using my room for a while. They'll be taking me to a hospital, and after that to jail. You can move in, Lily, if you want to.
Lily? Lily who?
Oh, just Lily. She's a nice girl, officer. But she's stupid, too.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. And now, Harry Lime.
So, here I am, in the hospital. But the doctor says I'll soon be up and around. Maybe around is the wrong word. The up part of it is more accurate. Up on a charge of cigarette smuggling. Well, I guess that's all for now. By the way, don't let this sad little tale of frustrated love and violent death keep you from taking a holiday on the Riviera. Murders don't happen here any more often than anywhere else. And generally speaking, in this part of the world, love doesn't get frustrated. Just keep your powder dry and look out for that moon. It's loaded. So long now.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more Old Time Radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.